Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. Yesterday, we read the first part of a story where God had led the Israelites towards the Promised Land, and they were finally close enough they could taste it, and Moses sent some spies to go see what the land was like, who lived there, what would it take to move into that land. They came back, presented the facts. Yes, there are some strong people there. They live in fortified cities. But their leader, Caleb, said, "We can take them." And that's when the other spies rebelled and said, "No, we can't. They're giants. They'll slaughter us." Totally embellishing the facts. And that led Israel to rebel against their God-given leader and the God-given plan to take that land. And really just kind of backed off from the whole thing, believing that they were walking into danger. While they did that, they repeated their usual defeatist line. "We would have been better off in Egypt. We could have died there and it would have been better than coming here to just die in the desert or to die trying to take this promised land." And the people just totally give up on the whole plan, despite all that they've seen already. They give it up anyway. Here's how that story actually happened.
"Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.' Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them, in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. And if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard of your fame will say, It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land he swore to give them that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it.'"
Now, just like when Israel worshipped a golden calf instead of the one true God, Yahweh, we see Israel's God, Yahweh, we see his anger ignited. We see the same kind of language of anger and wrath and burning anger, that God takes this really seriously and really personally. It's not that he doesn't recognize they're human and they're going to be a little bit afraid of any war, any battle. It's not even that he doesn't think they're allowed to be duped. You know, these spies lied and the rest of the nation believed them. He recognizes these are people. The problem is that they have lost their faith and confidence in God himself. They believe they're going to fail, as if entering this promised land was their plan to fail. It wasn't. It was God's plan given to them, and if God wants to get something done, he'll get it done. God is unfailing. And that's what we're learning about God this week through this story, is that even when it looks impossible to humans, even when we want to chicken out and lie to get out of doing something, God is unfailing. If God wants it to happen, it will happen. Even when we're broken, rebellious, fallen, sinful people, God can make things happen through us. Because if it's a plan he wants, it won't fail. God is unfailing. Now, once again, just like we heard about 2 weeks ago, Moses steps into the gap. Moses intercedes for Israel, and he says to God, "Listen, please don't let your anger burn against this people for long. Don't just slaughter them on the spot. Don't abandon them. Stick with these people. Think of all you've done for them already. Think of how you led them out of Egypt and how a strong, powerful nation like Egypt is terrified of them now. It's because of you, God. Let them continue to be in awe of you. If you give up on the Israelites now, the Egyptians will think it was all a coincidence and a mistake." So he kind of reminds God of what he's already done and how he can be a consistent God, how he can continue in that same vein even when the people are uncooperative. And so God relents. God forgives. It's amazing to see that happen. Again, that's a sign pointing to Jesus and how Jesus intercedes for us still as a human race when we sin, when we rebel, when we give up on God's plans, when we think he's going to fail. That's when Jesus steps into the gap for us and prays for us. So Moses steps in and intercedes. God forgives, but there are still consequences. It's not as if this never happened. What God says is that the generation alive in that day were not going to actually enter the promised land. The nation of Israel still would, but not that generation. They were going to have to wander in the desert even longer. Even though they were geographically so close to the promised land, wasn't going to be theirs yet. There was some punishment here. There were some consequences for their actions, as there should be. And I want you to think a little bit about them. Do you think God's punishment was fair? Did it make sense? What did it teach and communicate to the Israelites, and how would it change them in the future? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.